If you don't know Jesus Christ, I mean know Him, where He is your Lord, He's your Savior, you're being changed, going from glory to glory, you are a gambler. You are risking your life, and eternity is that's a long time to be wrong. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and thank you for joining us for Pastor Bill's continuing study from the Epistle of Philippians. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Examples of the Mind of Christ. Now, let's join Pastor.
We're all going to be there in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. I would think it would behoove us all to get along here now. That way, when we get into eternity, we won't have to fight among one another. Amen? My brother, you know, we are the most important family on earth. We're the family of God. We're the only people on earth that have unity. No one else has unity, only the church, the unity of the Spirit. Amen? We're to protect those things. So Paul says, oh, he's my brother. I'm going to tell you something. Paul is in prison, and you need to get that back in the sight where you can see Epaphroditus coming to him. We don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us if Paul was down to, they weren't feeding him. They didn't give, you know, you understand what I'm saying. I mean, was he down to his last penny? And God says, oh, I got to send somebody to help this guy out. And he sees Epaphroditus, and he's flooded with all the memories of the church at Philippi and all the jailer who was saved. Remember that? All the people, and they're talking about everything that's going on. Man, that brought joy to the heart of Paul. And he says, you're not only my brother, but listen, he writes, and he says, my fellow worker. What does that mean? He was involved in the gospel, furtherance of the gospel, the advance of the gospel with Paul the apostle. And loved one, listen, are we fellow workers? Are we co-laborers with Christ? Are we here to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God on this earth? Yes, what an honor and what a privilege. And we do so not in our own strength, not by self-effort, not in our own power, for it is God who works in us. Jesus said in John 15:5, he says, without me you can do nothing. We need the Lord for everything that we do, loved one. And now, look there. He says, again, let me find the scripture. He says, you are fellow worker, fellow soldier. You know, do you ever think about how the Lord, when Jesus says, like in Mark 1:17, he says, follow me, or come co-labor with me, or come alongside of me, or yoke yourself up with me. Follow me. Let's have an adventure, okay? Follow me, and Jesus says, I will make you. You won't do it. He says, I will make you fishers of men. Do you know what an honor that is? To be called, 2 Corinthians 5:20, to be called an ambassador, a representative sent from heaven, a representative of Christ. Man, what an honor that is for us to do that, loved one. Not only that, if you look back at verse 15, look what else. It says that you shine as lights in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. And this is a crooked and perverse generation, a twisted culture that we live in. They're trying to remove everything in our culture. Before you know it, they're going to be trying to remove the word of God from the church. Man, look at verse 16. Oh, look what you hold. You hold fast the word of life. The word of life. Not only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but the word of life, the living word, which is the word of God. Man, and we hold it forth to a world that is all perverted and falling apart. Listen, if God is working in you and you're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, we will have success in whatever God calls us to do. Amen? Listen, we cannot. You know, I know there are those who are saying, man, it won't be long. And we'll never have to have a mask on again, or we'll never have to social distance again. Loved one, and I can't wait for that either. But I'm going to tell you, if you think that all of a sudden after that happens, everything's going to be tiptoeing through the, what's it called, tulips? No, no. Listen, we have things that are coming that we have to face. Do you understand? We have to be strong in the Lord, loved one. Oh, listen, no, we have to be so strong. And a worldly church doesn't work for the Lord. Do you know that? A worldly church doesn't work for the Lord at all. Why? Why do they not work? Because they complain. They argue about what God is doing. I don't like this. I don't like that. Listen, remember what complaining does? Complaining and murmuring against God stops your progress in the race of faith. Amen? You're out there on the course. You're running a race that's preordained and by God Himself just specifically for you. And you start arguing with God and complaining about all of this. And God says, no, you're stalled. You're stalled right there. You're not going anyplace. The Bible says this, that we are being transformed into the same image, meaning the image of Christ. The same image from what? From glory to glory to glory. Okay? Adventure, 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 being conformed into the more like Christ, more like Christ, more like Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in our lives. When we start complaining to God, arguing with God, I don't like what's happening and all the rest of it concerning your salvation. Listen, you know what happens? You get stuck in glory. In other words, you're stuck right there. You don't go from glory to glory. And if you're stuck in glory, here's the deal. What you do in your present glory, the stage that you're in, will determine whether you move forward or stay exactly where you are. Man, listen, I want to move forward. Amen? We have to follow the Lord and we keep up with Him. That's where the adventure is. That's what God wants us to do. And then He calls him. He says, oh, and Epaphroditus, you're my fellow what? My fellow soldier. Back in Paul's day, that was an honor given to those who fought honorably alongside of someone. So Epaphroditus, he was in the battle with Paul. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. There are times, and I say this in a very transparent heart right now. There are times when I wish that I could say, I need just one person, just one, to stand with me in the battle. Amen? I just need one person that's like-minded. One person that is sincere, one person that is trustworthy, one person that is dependable, one person that I could open my heart up out of and I would not be shamed or condemned or whatever. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you know what? That's what's wrong with many today. You're not in prison, but you are in prison because you don't have anyone to come into the battle with you. And you need people to come into the battle with you. And whenever we're weak and we're in trouble or we're hurting, you know what? Someone needs to come alongside and say, I'm here for you. I'm going to fight with you no matter what. I know that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against the wickedness, the powers of darkness, and all the rest of it. But I want you to know I'm right here with you. That's the way every Christian should be. Where you can depend on me. I'm going to fight with you. That's why he said, oh, he's my fellow soldier, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier. Listen, we are brothers and sisters, and we are also, loved one, we are workers, but we are also warriors. Don't ever forget that. No, listen, the Bible tells us Paul, when he was in the prison for the last time, but this time not under house arrest like he was, even though he was in a cell and in chains, he was in the Mamertine prison. He wrote to Timothy, and he said that to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1. He says, you therefore, he uses that word again, my son. He says, oh, be strong. And he tells Timothy, be strong in the grace, the unmerited favor of Jesus Christ. You therefore, he says, you must, Timothy, you must endure hardship and tribulations and whatever you're going through. And here's how we're to endure, just like Timothy. He says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no one engaged, he says, in warfare, those who go to war, entangles himself or wraps himself up in the affairs of this life. The reason? That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. If you have ever gone into the military and you go down to the AFI station in Dallas, if you're a Texan, and you lift up your hand, you're sworn in, and they put you on a plane. And then you arrive at, you know what I'm saying? Remember what I told you about that years ago, remember? When I got off that plane in El Paso, Fort Bliss, Texas, and there was like 100 yellow footprints out there on the tarmac. And there was a man with that Smokey the Bear hat on. He just started screaming, put your foot in the yellow footprint. I'm going, my Lord. You know, I mean, I was already terrified. You know, this is my first plane trip, and now I've got this crazy man. Listen, when you enlist in the army, you lose every one of your rights. They'll send you anywhere they want to. and they don't pay you much money. Do you understand? Or they didn't back then. You know, I don't know how I even survived on $50, $51 a month. Think about that. That shows you how old Mario is. Man. No, listen. Think about that. You see, my rights now, Lord, you're my commander in chief. And I'm going to tell you something. You, every Christian, we have to start standing our guard. Yes, all this is going to end, but there's other things that are going to be coming our way. And if you are not diligent now, you will not be diligent then. Does that make sense? If you're not standing your post now, you won't stand your post then. You see, we have an enemy. He hates you. He hates me. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. We have to be prepared. And we also have to be prepared to do one single thing. And it just, as I just read in Timothy, please the one who has enlisted us. You know what? We're in the greatest army in the world. Amen? Amen. So now, why was Paul sending Epaphroditus home? I'll tell you why. Because Epaphroditus' heart was just like the heart of Paul and just like the heart of Christ. Look at verse 26. It says, since he, meaning Epaphroditus, was longing for you all. In other words, he was longing for the church at Philippi. If you read Philippians 1:8, Paul used the exact same word. He says, I am longing with you with the heart or the very affection of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. He says, I love you just as much as Jesus. And that's exactly what Epaphroditus is doing. I'm longing for you, he says, for y'all. And look what he was also. Epaphroditus was distressed, and look at the reason, because you had heard that he was sick. That word distressed is the same word used in the Garden of Gethsemane about our Lord Jesus Christ when he sweated, you know, great drops of blood and all of that. The word means full, overflowing with heaviness, a deep, being deeply weighed down. Now listen, this is not self-pity. That's not what Epaphroditus was doing. He was overcome with this heaviness and with this longing for the church at Philippi because they had heard that he was sick. Isn't that amazing? Is that a tender heart? I mean, the word of God is true. God cannot lie. If somebody called Bill, I got a cold, okay? You understand. I mean, okay, I'm going to pray with you, but I don't think I'm going to be so distressed I can't breathe, you know? He was burdened. And I think about the heart of that. I mean, what kind of love is that? You know, it's the same thing, and I've been with people that are ready to go home, and maybe I'm allowed to spend maybe 2 or 3 weeks before they go home to the Lord. And I've been with moms and so forth. They're not concerned about their illness. They're concerned about their family. Oh, they don't want the family to worry. You know what I'm saying? That's what Epaphroditus was doing. See, he's not torn apart because he nearly died. He's torn apart because they're worried about him and so forth. Look what he says. For indeed, he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Listen, what kind of sickness was it? We're not even told. But there's a key here. When it says almost unto death, that Greek word literally means, and let me read it, it literally means in our language, alongside of a neighbor. Isn't that interesting? Alongside of a neighbor. So how close was Epaphroditus to death? His death was like he is here and death was his next door neighbor. He was hanging on by a thread. And then God did something. Isn't that the way the Lord always does? Boy, he came in, and Paul says, I couldn't bear it. If Epaphroditus, you sent him with that gift, and if he had died because you sent him just to take care of me, I would have had so much sorrow and just added sorrow after sorrow. You know, how many times has that but God rescued you? Come on. Oh, how good he is. My marriage was in trouble, but God. You know, my life, I was going down the wrong path, but God, you know what I'm saying? We were dead in trespasses, amen? I was dead in trespasses and sins, living for myself, living for the course of this world, under the sway of the wicked one and didn't even know it. I was without Christ and without God in this world, without hope and without strength. And what happened? Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy. And with his great love, we who were dead, he made us alive in Christ Jesus. Amen? We've been made alive. We're no longer in Adam. We're not the Adam's family. Get out of here. We're not there. No, we're in Christ Jesus, and in Christ all live, and in Adam all die. No, by grace you've been saved. It goes on in verse 6 of Ephesians, and it says, and you are seated with Christ together. Think of that. Right, that is, in God's eyes, that is your position right this very minute. That's what God has done. Think about that. As far as God is concerned, you, this moment, Christian, you are seated on the very throne where Christ is sitting. 1 John 4:17. For as Jesus, as he is, present tense, not as Jesus was, as Jesus is, so are we right now in this world. Amen? Oh, but God, who is rich in mercy. He says in verse 27, for indeed he, Epaphroditus, was almost sick unto death, but God, mercy upon him, lest have sorrow upon sorrow, it says. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you rejoice that I may be less sorrowful. Isn't that crazy? Paul is sad. He says, I'm sad because Epaphroditus is sad. Epaphroditus, he's sad because the church at Philippi is sad. You know what I mean? And so Paul says, I'm sending him home. I'm thinking of you guys. I'm thinking of others because that's the mind of Christ. Amen? And he's sending home his dear friend, his brother, his fellow worker, his soldier. You're going home now. And look what he says. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord. How? With all gladness. It's like open up your arms and start thanking God. Amen? He says, and not only that, when he arrives, hold such men in esteem. That's a beautiful word in the Greek, esteem. It means to highly value the individual. It means to prize the individual. But the word that I really like is the word, it means precious, or to treat as a treasure. But I want you to look at the reason Paul says to do that to Epaphroditus. Look at it. It says in verse 30, because he's just a great guy, because he came and ministered to my needs. He says, for the work of Christ, the work of Christ, not self-interest, not self, but what Jesus needed, what Jesus wanted. For the work of Christ, Epaphroditus, he came close to death. Why? Not even regarding his life. To supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Man, so what brought him to the point of death? I mean, just a right, it was because he was working for the Lord. He was serving the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that he had the mind of Christ, which means that he practiced Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and which means that he knew that God was working in him, and he was working it out, amen? That's what they were doing. Now, if Timothy, ordinary saints like us, if Timothy and Epaphroditus needed to obey the command to have the mind of Christ in action, how much more should we, the 21st century believer? Listen, I'm going to ask you a question before I close. Christians, are you stalled? I mean, here you are, you were running the race, and all of a sudden, like you're chained, like Paul says, my chains are in Christ. So here you are, Christ has purchased you. And we could say our chains are in Christ, amen? We belong to the Lord, we're his. But then here you are, you're running the race, and all of a sudden, you get chained to something else. And instead of running the race, it turns your eye away from him who you are following, the author and the finisher of your faith, looking unto him. And it's now, you're stalled, and you're not going from glory to glory. You're stuck in glory. You know, all you have to do is say, Lord, unchain me. Whatever I chain myself to that's not you, break those chains. Whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Amen. You shall know the truth, Jesus said. The truth will set you free. Listen, we have a race that we're running. Don't be stalled. Don't be stuck. Man, you guys, you got to keep moving. We have things to do. Note that phrase again. It says, regarding your life. That word literally means he had total disregard for his life. He risked everything for the work of Christ. The name Epaphroditus is an interesting name. And some people, if you have a Greek, you know, and you look up in the Greek, it'll probably say, oh, that name means lovely or charming. And listen, he probably was a very charming and lovely person, we know. But the word Epaphroditus comes from the word Aphrodite, or the Greek goddess of Aphrodite, remember? And she was the goddess, the Greek goddess of love and fertility, and of what else? Oh, beauty. But she was also the goddess of luck. Interesting, isn't it? So the Greeks, you know, do you ever gamble? I hope not. But, you know, I gambled one time. I was in the Army. It was in basic training, and we were playing poker. I had never played poker in my life. And when you play poker, when you lay them out, if I remember, you have to call what it is. Is it, anybody know that? You can. I'm not going to judge you. I mean, yeah, in other words, you say a straight flush, isn't that right? Or or old maid. I don't, what is it called? What do you call it something. Anyway, I had the highest hand that you can have in a poker game. I think it's called a royal flush. Is that right? My, you guys are bad. And I called it a straight flush. That was $51 in there. That was a whole month's pay. Did I lose? Yes. You know why? I didn't call for what it was. I had no idea. I never played poker before. But here's the deal. I've never played it since. No, never. But here's the reason I said that is because back in Paul's day, the Greeks, when they would gamble, they would roll the dice or whatever, and whenever they did that, they would go, Epaphroditus. Isn't that amazing? In other words, oh, give me favor, Aphrodite. Give me favor. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I mean know him, where he is your Lord. He's your Savior. You're being changed, going from glory to glory. You are a gambler. You are risking your life, and eternity is a long time to be wrong. Amen? Oh, listen, don't risk your life. You know what? Jesus is not a gamble. You never lose with Jesus. The Bible says he is always leading. Thanks be unto God our Father, who is always leading us in victory in Christ Jesus. No matter what we face, we're always going into victory, loved one, if we're walking with the Lord. Listen, I don't know, but maybe you're stuck in glory as our heads are bowed. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord. I'm telling you, with Jesus, you're a sure winner forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I speak now to Christians, and you know, as all of us, we're praying. I know it's time to go home, but just bear with me just 1 minute. If you are stalled in the race of faith, if you are stuck in glory, meaning you're not going from glory to glory, then something's holding you back. And I don't need to know what it is, but you know what it is, and God knows what it is. You know what you can do? You can be just like Paul. In one hand, you're chained to Christ. But the other hand, you're chained to something else. Why don't you lift that one hand if that's you? If you're stuck in glory, if you're not going from, yes, God bless you. And so, yes, oh yes. And I, yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you back. Yes, right. I want to go on. Unchain me. Father, in Jesus' name right now, you've seen the hands and that represents faith. It represents, Lord, they're stuck. And whatever that is, Father, in Jesus' name right now, let them be unshackled and free. And if you're sitting there and you don't know Christ, you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, why don't you just lift your hand? It's between you, me, and God. You don't have to get out of your chair, but just lift your hand and say, Bill, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Is that you? Just lift it up, put it right back down. Well, Father, I trust everyone is saved. And I thank you that they're not gambling with eternal life. Lord, we love you. Thank you for giving us the examples of Timothy and Epaphroditus. Now, Lord, may we walk out of here and apply the things we've learned today. We give you praise. We give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with more from his Philippians series. So we hope to see you once again. Amen? Thanks for listening with us. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.